Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Arachin Daf Chaf Amud Bet, and this will be our second and final podcast of the fifth parak of Arachin. Shor ze ola uvayet ze korban. So if a person makes such a declaration and points to a particular ox or a particular house and dedicates them to the Mikdash, umeita shor v'nafal habayit, when the ox died or the house crumbled, patur mi l'shalim, there's no achrayut, because he pointed to Zeh, a classic Nidava. Shor Zeh Alai Ola, Uvayet Zeh Alai Korban. If he added the word Alai, accepting the responsibility for payment, then Meita Shor Nafal Bayit Chayav L'Shalim. He has to make him up by paying for them. Now, Amar V'chia Barav, Loshanu Ela Da Amar Demei Shor Zeh Alai Ola, Aval Amar Shor Zeh Alai Ola, Amar Zeh Umeit Enu Chayav V'Achreyuto. So, V'chia Barav puts an interesting twist on the Mishnah. He says that even though the Mishnah explicitly says that if you said Shor Zeh Alai Ola, you are responsible, he says that's not true unless you also added the word Demei, meaning I'm responsible for the funds. Because once you said the word Zeh, you already singled out this particular ox, this particular house, and if they die, they die. So what does Alai mean? Alai Lavio Kamar. When you said Alai after Zeh, you meant I'm going to be responsible to bring this particular animal. Now, Meitave, watch the challenge. Shor Zeh Ola, Shor Hekdesh Mualin Bo. If you say Shor Zeh Ola, then the Shor is Hekdesh. Me'ila applies. Meito Nigdam Nechayv Achreyuto. You're not Chayiv to make up for it if it died. But Shor Zeh Alai Ola, exactly the language in our Mishnah, Shor Hekdesh Mualin Bo, Meito Nigdam Chayv Achreyuto. And it uses the exact same language as the Seif in our Mishnah. Me'ila still applies, but you are Chayav if it dies. So it seems to be a direct challenge to Ruchia Barab's take. The answer is Mialim Latnitno, Kimna the Kamar Dmei, Achinamada Kamar Dmei. That bright is no different than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah we added in the word Dmei, same thing here. Now, but that won't work in this bright. The Bahami the Seifa the Kamar Dmei, Reshid Lo Kamar Dmei. In the Seifa of this bright, we have a case where he explicitly said Dmei. So by omitting it in the Reshid, it means it really was omitted. Where is the Seifa? Diktani Seifa, Demei Shor Ola, Hashor Chulin, Ve'in Mualin Bo. If you said, I'm giving the funds of this Shor as an Ola, or the funds of a Shor, then the Shor itself has no Kedusha, there's no Me'ila. If it died, then you're not Chayav Bachreyuto, because you said Demei Shor Zeh. You're not chayav because this shor itself represented nothing. But you are obligated to pay its money. So you see that in the Seifa, we explicitly invoke Demei, implying that in the Reisha, Demei wasn't used at all. So the defense is Reisha was Seifa the Kamar Demei. Demei was used in both cases. Reisha da Amar Yakdisha Shor the Damav. In the Reisha, the reason the word Demei was left out was because we were talking about the actual ox and saying the ox is kadosh for its money. The Seifa de Ka'amar Lechshiavo Damav Yikdashu. In the Seifa, we're talking about a case where you said when the money comes in for this shore, then it becomes Hekdesh. Meaning, I'll sell the shore and then that money becomes Hekdesh. But you can't do that. Va'ina da Makdish Tavar Shelo Ba'al Olam. You can't makdish something that doesn't exist yet, like the funds. The answer is that brayta must be authored by Rameir. Damar Adam Makdish Tavar Shelo Ba'al Olam. Just like Rameir says, Adam Makne Tavar Shelo Ba'al Olam. You could sell futures. You could also be makdish futures. Ika da Amri, there's another version of this take. Amrle or Papa Labayv, Amrle or Mchambar Lavchista. Either way, a student asked his teacher, two different generations here, Kaman Kerameir. Does this bright to follow Meir? And the answer was, well, who else could it be? Now, this entire take of either Rav identifying the author of a statement as being Meir, or else Rav Papa asking Abaye, or Rav Machama asking Rav Chista, is this Meir? And the answer being yes, could have been about a whole different subject. Related, obviously, but a different subject. Hamasker by the Chaver Nageah. Let's say that Reuven rents a house out to Shimon, and the house becomes a bayit menugah, and Shimon has to go through the quarantine and everything else. Alfi shechalto kohen, even though the kohen has declared it to be a sure bayit menugah, Omer shechal fanacha, the owner can still say to the renter, you got a house, that's your house, your problem. But nitzto chayav lamidlo bayit. But once the kohen directs him to take the house apart, as we are directed in Sefer Vayikra, And he does so, then the owner has to give him a house. That's all a setup for this. Hikdisho, let's say he was makdish the house, and we think right now it means the renter. Hadarbo, ma'alesachal hekdesh. He has to pay hekdesh the rental instead of the owner. Hikdisho, hadarbo, how could the renter be makdish it? How could he rent it? Ishke, hekdish beito kodesh ladumai. If a person sanctifies his house to God, amarachmana, ma beito b'shuto, of kol b'shuto. Has to be something he owns. He doesn't own it. So hachkavar, the answer is hikdisho maskir. If the owner rented, was makdishit, hadarbo males chala hekdesh, then the guy who's living in it, the renter, has to pay hekdesh instead of the owner. Hikdisho maskir echidayabe. If the owner was makdishit, how could the guy live in it? V'me'ila kai, every minute he's in there, he's violating me'ila. V'tu males chala hekdesh, then why would he pay hekdesh? Kevin de mal be nafik le'ilachut sachal l'chulin. The minute that he's moel by living in the house more than a shara pruta is worth, then it goes out l'chulin. So he's violated me'ila, and it isn't hekdesh. So the answer must be, da'amar l'chshevo scharo yikdash, that the owner said when the rent comes in, that rent is hekdesh. Which seems, by the way, the renter is in good shape. He's fine. So the same exact take, identifying this as Reb Meir, is now possibly a comment on the issue of the rented house. Okay, next Mishnah. If somebody is liable for arachin, we could take collateral for them if they haven't paid. But if you're chayav chatat or nasham, we're not going to take collateral because we know you want to get kapara and you're going to do everything you can to bring that korban. But if you're chayav an olam shlamim, that you might let wait, and therefore we do take a mashkot until you pay. Even though it won't help because you won't get kapara for whatever you're bringing until you actually come voluntarily. Shenemar lirtso no. Every korban has to be lirtso no. Kofino to atshimor atzani. We force him until he says, yes, I'm willing to do it. In other words, under duress, he says, yes, I'm willing to do it. And the very famous Rambam in Perak Bet of Hilchot Gerushin about Get Meuseh. And the famous Mishnah at the end of Gittin, again in the Rambam's explanation of that, and a parallel explanation in Sefer Mitzvot about the role of Beit Din, that a person's real desire is to do Mitzvot, and Zietzar got the best of him, so we're kind of beating that down, that we force him to give the get and say, I'm giving it voluntarily. Okay, Amar Papa, Panim Shrei Chavei Chataon Mashkinotan, Chavei Lot En Mashkinotan. So Papa says, even though the rule is that we don't take a mashkon from somebody who's chayav a chatat, and we do from somebody who's chayav an olah, you could find each case inverted. Where's that? Chatat chayav chata od mashkinotan, chatat nazir. A nazir has to bring a chatat. But the kevod amarim give a chalachad mishloshtan yatsa, since the halacha is that any one of the three korbanot, the olah, the shlamim, or the chatat that he brings, he could already shave and already drink, etc. And the minute that one of the korbanot had its dam nizrak on the mizbeach, he can already do any of those things. Therefore, pasha bavolomaiti. Therefore, he may delay and not bring the chatat. So therefore, we're mamashkin the chatat. And again, the thinking is, we take a mashkon every time that somebody may delay bringing the korban and not care much about fulfilling his obligation. And chayavei olot en mashkinotan. Where's a case where you wouldn't take a mashkon, meaning where an olah would have to be brought? Be'olat yoledet. Let's say that a yoledet who brings an olah and a chatat, she would have to bring the olah. So because in order to bring the chatat, she has to first bring the olah. Perhaps my new da akhtame cries that because the text first puts the olah before the chatat in Vayikra Yudbet. There's two interpretations of this. Rava said the reason that the text mentions the Olah first is either because that's just the order in the text, or because when you bring the korban and you declare and identify it, you have to identify the olah first. But the chatat is brought first, which means, therefore, that the olah would be afterwards. She already brought her chatat. She doesn't need it in order to be able to eat korbanot. It's simply an obligation. And so forth, we would take a mashko. And that can't be the counterexample or the exception. Ela ba'olat mitzorah. It must be an olat mitzorah. The time of Rishon Rosh Yehuda and Bruk Omer. Kashem shechatato v'ashamo ikavto. Kach olato ikavto. That the mitzorah requires all three korbanot, the chatat, the asham, and the olah, in order to move to his next step, to be fully tahor and fully able to participate in the world of kodshim. And therefore, it is to him like a chatat, and therefore we don't need to take a mashkon. The Torah says about a korban olah, he should offer it, we see that we force him. I might think that this is against his will, meaning that he has to be compliant and agreeing. We force him with the korban, and he has to say, I'm giving it voluntarily. So Shmuel says, halacha. When you bring a korban olah, it has to have the consent of the owners. So my kamash, that's our Mishnah, Shemar Tzano. So Lotzricha Deparish Lechavre, we're talking about a case where his buddy designated the Korban on his behalf, perhaps without asking him. Ma'aratem Akibenin Dat Mididei, maybe we only need his Dat when he's bringing it. Chavre Lo, but if his friend is bringing it, his friend could bring it under duress, his friend could bring it without telling him, and that's okay. So Kamash Malan, Dezinin Delonechale Delichaper Mididei. Sometimes a person wants to use his own money to do the kapara, and he really doesn't want someone else to do it on his behalf. And therefore, Olatzi Chadat, the Shmuel said, means if you bring somebody else's Ola, you have to let them know and they have to be agreeing. Meitave, watch this challenge, Chatato, Rashamosho Ploni Alai. If a fellow says, I'm going to bring Ploni's Chatat and Asham. Ladat Yatsa, Shlo Ladat, Lo Yatsa. Then, if it was with awareness and agreement, you're Yotze, and if not, not. Olato, Shlomavsho Ploni Alai, Ben Ladat, Ben Shlo Ladat, Yatsa. But in Olah, it could be either way. So that goes against Shmuel, which means that because here you see that for an olah you don't need somebody else, the fellow's dot, when you bring it on his behalf. That's talking about bringing a korban if at the time of the kapara, the zrikat adam, he doesn't know about it. That's okay. The iratzi b'shat hafrasha, because he already agreed when you designated the korban. In other words, you said, I'm going to do a korban for you, said, thank you very much, and you set it aside, and then at the time of zikat adam, he doesn't have to know about it. And Shmuel says, I'm talking about b'shat hafrasha, then you do need his dot. And then this fixed position of Shmuel is exactly opposite of that of Ula. Ula lo chilku ben chatat lo la elo shechatat shechadat b'shat hafrasha. The only difference in chatat and olah is that a chatat needs the consent of the owner at the time of the designation. He says that the difference is that when you designate the korban, you don't need the owner's consent if it's an olah or shlamim. However, at the time of kapara, no korban will be valid unless the owner on whose behalf it's being brought is aware of it and agreeing. So you bring any sort of korban for ploni, ladat yatsa shaladat lo yatsa. So the answer is very simple. Shmuel mokil abishat hafrasha. Shmuel says, that's talking about bishat hafrasha. All korban don't need the consent of the owner. And ula mokil abishat kapara. He'll say, that bright is referring to the kshat kapara. There we go. Rapapa matnaita adani lokashin. So the brightot are not at odds with each other, meaning the brightot versus our Mishnah, the two brightot. Habishat kapara, habishat afrasha. We could explain it as Shmuel and Ula each would explain it differently. One brighta is bishat kapara, the other is bishat afrasha, and then which is which would depend on your take. Amurai nami lokasha, and the Amuraim, meaning Shmuel and Ula, neither of them is challenged by the brightot for the same reason. Shmuel moki kamaita bishat kapara, but brighta bishat afrasha. Shmuel will say that the first one, which says you don't need dat, is bishat kapara, in case of an olah. And the second one, which puts all korbanot together, is bishat hafrasha. And ula moki ipcha. And ula would just say the opposite. But Amorai Vade Pligi. But certainly Shmuel and Ula are at odds. Se Pshita, that's a no-brainer. So Maudatem, Ma Bishata Fashah, Kama Shmuel, At Bishata Fashah. Now we could have interpreted that their machloket is much more narrow. That Shmuel, when he says Bishata Fashah, you need consent, means even Bishata Fashah. And therefore, Vagavda Ach Kamaita Tiyufte, and therefore the first Brighton would be a challenge to him. Kamash Balan, that Shmuel really is diametrically opposed to Ula's position, not only partially. Okay, Rechen Megitin Hashim Kofin, Rav Sheshet, Haiman Demasa Moda'a Gita, Moda'a Moda'a. If a person declares a Moda'a, which means a protest that he was, that the contract or the deal that was done under duress, it is a valid Moda'a on a get. And therefore the get's nullified. It's a Pshita. That's obvious. Any deal could have that. So lo tzrichad asa'uav eratzi. It could be a case where the Beit Din forced him and he gave it. Ma'udatayim avatule batle. I might think that when he handed it over, that is mevatel his protest. Kamashvan de imken litni ad shi'itain. If that's the case, then our Mishnah should have said, not ad shi'irtseh, or ad shi'omarotseh ani, but ad shi'itain, that the physical act of handing it over is all we need, and his claims of duress go out the window. My ad shi'omar, so why does it say ad shi'omarotseh ani? Ad mevatele le moda'e, until he actually says, I'm canceling my claim of duress, and it is being given fullingly, willingly. Okay, that brings us to the end of the parak. We'll pick up with the sixth parak in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.